I was feeling good because it felt like we had gotten through this without having to endure a sermon from Gnelliel Craid. But my heart fell into my gut as Cord turned to him and asked, "Where did the Warden part company from your faith, Gnell?" The last part of this sentence was a little rushed and muffled because Yule had playfully reached around her shoulder to clap his hand over her mouth, and she was twisting his fingers backwards as she talked.
"We read the scriptures ourselves in the original Bayesian," Gnell said. "So you might imagine that we are primitive fundamentalists. Maybe we are in that sense. But we aren't blind to what has happened in the Mathic world, old and new, in the last 50 centuries. The Word of God does not change. The book does not suffer editing or translation. But what men know and understand outside of the book changes all the time. That's what you avowed do. Try to understand God's creation without using the direct revelations given to us by God almost 6,000 years ago. To us, you're like people who have put out your own eyes and are now trying to explore a new continent. You're grievously handicapped, but for that reason, you may have developed senses and faculties we lack." After a few moments' silence, I said, "I'm just going to hold my tongue and not even get into all that is wrong in what you've just said. The gist of it seems to be that we aren't evil or misguided. You think that in the end, we'll agree with the book."
"Of course," said Gnell. "It has to be that way. But we don't think there's a secret conspiracy to hide the truth."
"He believes your confusion is genuine," Yule translated.
Gnell nodded. "That's very considerate of you," I said.
"We preserved the notebooks of St. Bly," Gnell said. "I've read them myself. It's obvious he was no Deolater."
"Excuse me for saying so," Saman said.
This was always how he opened when he was going to insult someone.
"Isn't it a little bit nutty for a bunch of Deolaters to found a religion based on the writings of someone they know to have been an atheist?"
"We identify with his struggle," Gnell said, not the least bit insulted.
"His struggle to find the truth." "But don't you already know the truth?"
"We know those truths that are in the book. Truths not therein we feel, but we don't know."
"That sounds like something," I began, then bit my tongue.
"That an avowed would say? Like Estimard or Orlo?"
"Let's not bring him into this, please."
"Fine," Gnell shrugged.
"Orlo kept to himself, preserved the discipline as near as I could tell. I never talked to him."
Here I had to draw back, count to 10, take out the rake. These people cared about eternal truths, believed that some, but not all, such truths were written down in a book, that their book was right and the others wrong. This much they had in common with most of the other people who had ever lived. Fine, as long as they left me alone. Now they had this new wrinkle. They drew inspiration from a saint of the avowed. It was not important that I be able to make sense of this.
"You feel the truth, but you don't know it," Cord repeated.
"Your service the other day in Samble, we could hear your singing. It was very emotional."
Gnell nodded.
"That's why Estimard attends, though he doesn't believe."
"He's not intellectually convinced of your arguments," Cord translated. "But he feels some of what you feel."
"That's exactly it."
Gnelliel Craid was delighted. A strange thing to relate, but he was, as if he had found a new convert.
"Well, even for one who doesn't believe, I can sort of understand the attraction," Cord said.
I gave her a look. Yule clapped his hands over his face. Cord became defensive.
"I'm not saying I'm likely to join this ark, just that it was remarkable after driving through the middle of nowhere for hours to come upon this building where people were gathered together and to feel the emotional bond that they shared, to know that they've been doing it for centuries."
"Our ark. Our towns like Samble," Gnell said. "They are all dying. That's why those services are so emotionally intense."
This was the first thing he'd ever said that didn't bristle with confidence, so we were taken aback by it. Yule took his face out of his hands and blinked at his cousin.
"Dying because of the Warden of Heaven?"
Saman guessed.
"He preaches a simple, unsubtle creed. It spreads like a disease. Those who adopt it turn around and spurn us as if we were the heretics. It is wiping us out," Gnell said,
and aimed a none-too-friendly look at Yule. This was all very interesting, but I had other stuff to think about. So Estimard has gone off the deep end. Has Orlo? I recalled the conversation I'd had with Orlo just before the Starhenge had been closed. The one about beauty. The one that had saved my life. In retrospect, it could be seen as the moment when Orlo's mind began to crack. As if he had started and I had stopped being crazy at the same moment. I shook it off. Orlo had been thrown back. He'd had only one place to seek refuge, Bly's Butte. Once there, he'd observed the discipline. No singing in the Ark for him, and he had gotten out of the place as soon as he'd been able to. Well, wait a minute. Not as soon as he'd been able to. He had departed for the north only a couple of days before we had, the morning after the lasers had shone down upon the three inviolates. Why would that cause him to pack up his bolt, cord, and sphere and hurry to Ekba, of all places? Maybe in a few days I could just ask him.